When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
In this league, Podcast Network presents
Prospect One, the Fantasy Prospect Podcast.
Prospect One,
with your host, Chris Welch.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast. It's Prospect One. I'm your host, Chris Welch, who you can find on Twitter at IsItTheWelch. Same on the Instagram and, of course, over at InThisLeague.com. That is the Patreon where the top 500 prospect list lives, top 400 dynasty, first-year player, P1 ADPs, and a bunch more, and a partridge in a pear tree as well. GroupMe rooms we've got the Prospect One GroupMe rooms. We do card collecting. We've got other sports. We've got other lifestyle stuff, whatever it is. We have tried to create a whole bunch of fun stuff on the Patreon, knowing that when you guys sign up, you're also supporting us, because we don't want to feel guilty about you guys supporting us. Some are there for the stuff, some are there for the support, and there's just plenty of you that kind of want to do a little bit of all of it, and we appreciate all of you that do so. So come and check out our Patreon. Little as $5, you can get access to all the ranks that I do and the updates, and if you want to go a little bit further, you can get in the GroupMe rooms. InThisLeague.com will take you to the Patreon. Just go to InThisLeague.com. Today on the episode, it is Prospect Bold Predictions Part 2. Today on the episode, we have Jeff Ponce from Baseball America, Shelley Verstrate from RotoWire or NBC or NBC Edge or whatever they're calling themselves now, and a bunch of other places as well. And we've got an In This League exclusive with Nate Handy from the B-Side Prospects podcast, which you guys can, Prospects B-Side, which you guys can check out here on the ITL Podcast Network. And Nate is just doing that stuff all around. We have got all three of these fine folks giving you two hitter and two pitcher breakout prospects. So yes, we are going to finish out with what is math? 4, 8, 12, 24 prospects from these folks. And then I am giving you two more today as well. So 28. There you go. Basic math. Analytics, right? That's going to get us there. It's a bunch of bold predictions on prospects. And I think this is a great way to take us into the season. And I am hoping to do some fun stuff even into next week. I just got to set it up. But that is who we've got on the episode today. And I'm very excited for you guys to hear all of these breakdowns. And frankly, I really should probably... One thing we're going to be doing, we're going to get back into, and which I'm pretty stoked about, is we're going to get back into our live streams that we were doing on our Twitch. So if you want to preemptively go and check me out over at twitch.tv/inthisleague, I'm going to have a prospect-based one once a week. That is the hope. I'd love to go in and find out who's your favorite bold prediction? And of course, get some of your guys' bold predictions. That's always been a fun thing. Our boy Barry Baker and the GroupMe rooms has always kind of managed that. I need to get Barry to, you know, get us back in check, and maybe we'll do some of that here in the coming episodes. But lots and lots of bold predictions as the season's about to start. Minor league camps are getting set up and kind of altered. There's a whole bunch of prospects that have been sent down from major league camp, which I really didn't expect. I really thought Christian Encarnacion Strand had a legit shot to make the roster, and they immediately sent him down once minor league games started up. Brandon Pfaadt was the other one that hurt. That one hurt my soul, because I was very, very certain that Brandon Pfaadt was going to be a guy that was going to break camp, because I'd been over at Diamondbacks camp a couple times over the last week or so, and I had noticed just some interesting trends, which also shows you, you don't know anything, even when you see uniquely cool stuff, where you saw Brandon Pfaadt go out and pitch. He piggybacked on Madison Bumgarner and was phenomenal. I think he had 7 strikeouts. All he did was pitch incredible the whole spring training. You had saw Ryan Nelson and Dre Jameson just kind of struggle. Well, I saw Dre Jameson working exclusively with the relievers the other day, and I really thought that kind of stood out to me. I mean, we're talking it was only relievers on a side field. Andrew Chafin and Joe Mantiply and Kevin Ginkle and all those guys, only them. And Dre Jameson was over there. And I had seen Brandon Pfaadt that same day working with the starters and Zach Gallen. And Ryan Nelson's numbers had just been so bad that I figured, Nelson's bad. Maybe they're grooming Jameson to be a little bit more in the bullpen. Diamondbacks are going to go for it with Fott. And then about 2 days ago, they sent him down, which was unfortunate to camp. I will say I don't think this is going to be for long. I really think by May 1st, he's back up, especially if whoever they give the gig to. I'm assuming at this point it's going to be Ryan Nelson, and maybe Dre Jameson's going to make the team, but out of the bullpen is my thought. Maybe like as a, like a long reliever, you know, a, not a crazy high leverage situation yet or anything like that. Also, they've got technically an extra spot open with Mark Melancon being hurt, so that would give them a little bit more wiggle room. That, you know, if one of those guys struggles, I really do think Brendan Fott's going to be back up, especially if he's just back at AAA and dominating, you know, in the PCL. That's another thing. Might find some early struggles. You know, he has home run problems, but, you know, the number one strikeout pitcher in the minor leagues who just dominated in spring training against major leaguers, he goes out in the PCL, has a couple good starts. He's going to be back up. He's definitely going to be back up. A lot of other weird spring ones, not necessarily, he's not in qualification anymore, but the Vaughn Grissom stuff with the Braves is like wild. And it really tells you how important the defensive side of this was for him. Because I don't think there's manipulation. I always forget because there's like multiple points, which is really stupid about baseball, by the way, when we can't quite understand like Super 2, and then there's like the extra year, you know, there's a control. Like, I don't know if there's one that he qualifies in. So I don't think it's necessarily manipulation, but what it looks like is this shortstop experiment ain't working for them because they sent him and Braden Shoemake down, and maybe they'll like readjust a move or something like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if Grissom is working in another position when he's down in the minors. Like maybe they want to keep pushing the shortstop stuff, but I don't know with all the offseason work he did, like what are you going to get out of going to like AAA instead of working it out at the major? So it doesn't really make sense to me. It's just very, very weird. Very weird overall. But you've also got a ton of minor leaguers not participating in spring training now. I was actually at the Rangers and Guardians game just for a little bit. I couldn't stay for long, but I stayed for about 45 minutes at the beginning of the game. And I was kind of expecting like a slew of, I had not paid attention to like what, who had been sent down and whatnot for the Guardians. But in my brain, I was like, oh, you know, maybe we'll see Rocchio and Valera and already sent down, you know, they're not available in that game. There was really, I gotta be honest with you, I don't really remember anybody as far as a prospect goes that they had brought out there. So you've got all these guys going over to camps. Jordan Lawler's done the same thing. So a couple of the camps, it's been a little bit more difficult hitting some of these games. I was over for the Angels and Diamondbacks, saw Zach Neto, and Neto was with the AAA team. So some of the qualifications might be really interesting to you guys. Jordan Lawler and Zach Neto played against each other. Both were on the AAA squads. So that is what I'm going to assume is probably where they're going to be sent out. You also had Dominic Canzone. On the same field, Ivan Melendez, the Hispanic Titanic, if you remember, at a UT with the Diamondbacks, was with the AA team. So that looks like that's probably where he's going to push, and he is big. Like, he's not tall, big. Kind of. I mean, he's a big dude, but, like, he is just wide muscle human being. Just like one of those guys, like, you know, if he were unsuccessful in this career, he would be just, like, a total bouncer, like that type of look, which, by the way, he probably do much better if he didn't succeed in baseball than a bouncer. But that's like the physicality of what he looks like. Another interesting one with the Rangers has been Sebastian Walcott. And I was tempted to bring him up in this episode of Bold Predictions, but I just strayed away from it. But, you know, he is only one of two international guys. I've made a whole bunch of stink, as is a lot of people, about Ethan Salas. But what is quietly going under the radar is Sebastian Walcott is also out here. And I believe he's also 16 years old, if I'm remembering correctly, and hopefully not misremembering. I want to say he's about the same Salas age. Let me look. I think he just hit 17 or is just about to hit 17. But as far as I know, he's the only other international guy that's out here. And results so far, pretty good. You know, pretty good. He definitely has to add more weight to his frame, but really quick hands, a little bit overmatched on, I mean, we're going to be overmatched on any higher level stuff, but he's turned on a couple balls and he's been doing a lot of workout stuff. I haven't seen him in any game action, but you know, that low A is filled up by the Gleyber Figueroa's, Daniel Cuevas, Anthony Rodriguez's, or Anthony Gutierrez, and Yason Moribel. All of those guys are out here playing in like the low A teams. And it's really fascinating to see. And Sebastian Walcott's another one of those guys. Just keep him back in your mind. You know, I'm not trying to push the huge resurgence of the J15 class or anything like that. Like, it's totally back. But I mean, early indications I'm pretty positive about right now. Ethan Salas has been a huge win. I'm hoping to go and catch him in an actual minor league spring training game this week, assuming he's playing in Double A. And same thing for Sebastian Walcott. I want to see him as well and try to kind of add him to that group of some of these guys that have really been eye-popping. I'm going to talk about another guy here. I'm not going to mention it here, but I'm going to talk about a player that I also saw in some of these camps. And it's getting really interesting because we are only a week away, I think, just about a week until everything starts up. The minor league spring training ends for AAA starting next Monday, because they're going to be traveling out to start. The low A's, and I think it's like a low and high A and maybe even Double A, kind of play through the next week as well, and then they start up their minor league season. So you've only got about a week or so left of spring training that's really going on and all of these guys getting set. And there's some really interesting opportunities that are going to be out there. And I am ecstatic to get to the minor league season and get going. And that's kind of what I'm getting prepped for. Getting prepped, hopefully, for a P180P that we can do maybe starting next week to right into the lead into the season. So we've got that kind of marker as well. I'm excited to kind of yap with you guys and probably on like the opening day of minor league baseball, maybe AAA or maybe like the full season. I'll probably do like a stream on the Twitch and start doing a little bit more there. Talk to you guys and do some mailbags as well. So we'll do all that stuff. So at the end of this episode, I'm going to tell you who my last two breakout bold prediction prospects are. So make sure you tune in for that. But let's get into the episode right after I tell you about our great sponsor of the podcast, Fantrax. The Fantrax team is stoked to announce the Fantrax Game Day Experience giveaway. And what Fantrax is doing is they're sending one lucky fantasy baseball league, not person, league, to any regular season MLB game of their choice. Plus, they're going to be giving you guys $1,000 towards travel and accommodation. And here's how you enter. Go to Fantrax.com/inthisleague and either create a new league, join an active league, or bring over your existing leagues from another platform for free. So Fantrax.com/inthisleague, create, join, or bring over for free. Existing Fantrax leagues are also automatically included in the giveaway. The more leagues you create and join, the more chances you've got to win. So if you've got one active league, that's one entry. If you've got 12 active leagues, that's 12 entries. And they can be you creating new ones, joining active ones, or moving over. There's no purchase necessary outside of having leagues. So again, go to Fantrax.com/inthisleague for your chance to win. Jeff Ponce, Shelley Verstrate, and Nate Handy. Those are our big, bold predictors for this episode. I think you guys are going to dig it. We are going to go from Jeff to Shelley to Nate. No in-betweens because we don't need them. We're just going to rock from all three of them. These interviews were done over a little bit of time. And I want to let everybody know, probably about Wednesday, if you check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/inthisleague, I'm going to post the individual videos of all of these bold predictions. So there's going to be six videos, you know, because we had the one with James. We had the one, well, I guess it's going to be five videos because Clegg and Cross were together. So we're going to have five videos up on the YouTube channel and you can, you know, rewatch it. You can see the guys, whatever you want. You can check it out, but it'll also be on our YouTube channel in individual interview form. So it's time for some bold predictions. Jeff Ponce from Baseball America, Shelley from NBC, and Nate from the Prospects B-side. It's all going down right after this.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Say, I like you. I like you so much, I'm going to make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold, and I'll share it with you, 50-50.
Prospect One.
Captain Baseball America, it is Jeff Pont. Is on the hot seat for some bold prediction. What's up, Captain Baseball America? That's my new nickname for you. I literally thought of it too.
I love that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
The captain, but okay. Yeah, I'll take it.
Oh, Captain America. That was right. Captain America, Captain Baseball.
Yeah, hey. Evans is from Massachusetts. I'm here in Massachusetts doing this for you. So there's, you know, it's symbiotic, right?
That's all we're looking for. That's all we're looking for, man. Jeff, you have been a part of this for many years. I think the very first, however long I've been doing this bold prediction show. It's always fun. This is the first year I think I'm doing two parts to it. I'm very, very much looking forward to hearing what you have to say. You've always got really, really great breakdowns back to, you know, it's so funny. However long ago it was, I remember you and I talking about, it just went out in my head. What was it? I want to say Bryce Miller, but who was it with the Braves? Bryce.
Oh, man.
Because I just saw him. Bryce something with the, he's with the Brewers now. Come on. Former Braves pitching prospect.
I'm like totally drawing a blank.
Bryce.
You said Bryce. I'm like, I'm thinking Bryce Terang.
It's gone now. Braves pitching prospect. I'm going to have like top break. You know what? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get it for you. We cannot move on. Braves 40. Okay. We're going to go to the Braves roster right now. I literally saw him. If you know anything about me, you know, I will not be able to move on from this show if I don't get his name right now. And where is he? Oh my God. God, he was just, I mean, it must be on the 40-man roster because this is a guy that we talked about. If he's not here, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, Bryce.
Bryce Wilson. Did we get him at the same time?
I was like, wasn't he in the Pirates? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Sorry. Nobody cared about that. But Bryce Wilson was like something we talked about so long ago. But that's in the vein of where, you know, I've joked about this, that, you know, when we talk about some of the pop-ups, this is actually a hit that you had. I know it doesn't work now because of like the Brewers and stuff, but this was like an absolute no-name guy who had a big pop-up season the year you talked about him. But in this, you know, the designation of the big pop-ups and the kind of bold breakout guys, there are huge hits. There's misses like my Luis Medina, but it's fun to put them all together. And I know you've got some good names for us here today that aren't going to be Bryce Wilson. So I'm going to give you the decision of hitting or pitching, whichever one you want to start with first. We're going to get two of them. So which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with hitting, actually.
Okay. God, this is what Shelly did. Shelly did the same thing. She's like, she wanted to say best for last, and she did hitting first. So let's do it. Bold prediction, hitter number one for the 2023 season. Jeff, what do you got?
Sure. At the end of the season, the Padres' Jackson Merrill will be the number one prospect in baseball. He's got some stiff competition, even amongst Jacksons.
I was about to say, is he the best Jackson of all of them? Because there's a big one on the Brewers again.
Yeah, Churio for sure. You know, and of course, like Jackson Holliday, another one that I think probably you could make a similar bold prediction about. If someone said Churio was going to be the number one prospect in baseball, it wouldn't be that bold. He's pretty close, you know.
He could get there due to graduations.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, there could be a chance that it happens with Churio. But, I mean, I don't think so. They have so much outfield depth. I would think the Brewers can probably hold off for another year.
You know what? By the way, Jay first names own the top 25 because I was going to say, is there any other bigger top 50 prospect name than Jackson? There's Jordan. There's Jordan Lawler and Jordan Walker, who are both top five. So the Jays run it. What about Jackson Merrill get you there? Because I buy it. I think Jackson Merrill makes – like veteran decisions already, and the way he approaches at bats, the way he can hit opposite field, the way that he will sell out for contact.
it's a little bit in question about his power. And he even joked around about it during the AFL. He had this one homer that I got on and he was really excited about it because he actually got to it, because I think he's very hyper focused on making contact, but he's a good defender. He can run. He's making those veteran moves, but you know, to take the next level, the power's got to come. So do you believe that power is going to develop?
Yeah, I think if you watch any of his batting practices, I got to see a few while I was out there in Arizona back in November. This guy is just, it's funny because set a high school home run record for his high school back in Maryland. You know, was a guy that's a Northeast cold weather prospect. Didn't play a ton on the showcase circuit. And we saw, like you'd said, like you had alluded to, how strong the swing decisions were. Just, you know, how kind of mature he is as a hitter. I think physically the power will come. It's a great left-handed swing. And he hasn't had like a ton of game experience yet. And, you know, we saw him perform and look really good against older competition in the AFL. We don't always want to buy, you know, AFL breakouts for a bunch of different reasons. We talk about the pitching and some of that, but sometimes these guys are older too. I mean, they're facing competition that's maybe younger than them, has less experience than them. And it could be a guy that's already had like a high level of like high minors experience. So I think with Merrill, we're talking about a guy who's only played, what, like 50 games off the prospect, off the complex, really.
I think he was also the youngest in the AFL. I could be wrong. He might have been number two, but he was like either the youngest or second youngest player in the entire AFL.
Yeah. So I think this is a guy where they're, you know, the sky's sort of the limit. The Padres typically have done a pretty good job of, maybe the system depth isn't very good. They always have some guys who seem to get better every year at the top of their system. You know, we've heard some of the rumors that, you know, Merrill was like a no trade. Like he was not allowed to be traded last year when they were going for Juan Soto. I think that says a lot considering they traded James Wood, who another J name.
Oh, my God. There are so many J names. There's like seven or eight in the top 25.
I named my youngest son Nolan. I guess he's got no chance of being a top prospect.
Oh, I'm gonna tell my son's name is Parker. I'm going to have him we're going to have to change it really quick because he has no shot. There's no J.
You're Jarker now. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Jarker. Yeah. Sorry, Jarker and Jolin. Sorry, guys.
Exactly. But yeah, I think, you know, when we put all that together, and you know, he hits the ball fairly hard. It's just a matter of like, you know, sort of timing some of those things. That's easy to fix. And it's one of those things that I think with more experience, maturity, et cetera, he'll get to it. He's an underrated defender too. He's not one of these guys that's like super twitchy. He's not Ezekiel Tovar out there, but I think like, you know, a Xander Bogaerts kind of shortstop where he makes the plays he gets to, the arm is good. He's got a good internal clock. All that stuff will sort of balance off. And the fact that he's a shortstop and not a center fielder or, you know, a corner outfielder or, you know, a guy that's probably going to move to second base. He's a shortstop or a third baseman. You know, typically like when we're ranking prospects and the defensive side of things sort of goes into it, that matters. I think he's going to hit enough. And it's an attractive fantasy profile that, you know, I think he'll be a guy where there's, you know, some sort of agreement between the two sides of the house there.
Yeah. And having that defensive ability, he's going to have to move, you know, and that's the problem. That's like the one problem we have with him. It's like, but he's such a good defender wherever he moves, if it's third or if it was second, like he can do it because he's a great defender. It's not out of necessity. It's more out of need because he can't play that spot because of Xander Bogaerts. Unless the team could convince Bogaerts to move to third and they keep Tatis out there. That's always a possibility. All right. That's number two. Too. Number two on your breakout hitters.
Number two is more of a breakout name that's not so much a household name. I've been beating the drum on this guy a lot over the last year. He's kind of my junior Caminero, Adel Amador. My breakouts from the complex is really good last year.
Pretty host good.
Josue Depaula from the Dodgers. Everything that I've heard about this guy, I have a friend, Matt Pajak, who does athletic testing for a variety of teams. Just did a podcast with him a couple of weeks ago, and he calls him Baby Yordan. The Dodgers have a similar nickname for him. I mean, this guy is powerful, incredible swing decisions, really good contact. He's a bigger guy, but not more bigger like height-wise. He's actually Stefan Marbury and Sebastian Telfair's cousin.
It's so trippy that he is, because I don't want to add in here, like I just saw him 3 days ago and he kind of knows me now because I'm only one of the few people that know him, you know, like these lower level international guys, there's kind of this trippy thing that happens because no one knows them. And when someone does, they'll kind of like latch on. That was one thing about like George Valera back in the day, and sure. I'll kind of make myself to him. And he is about as tall with cleats on, maybe even a little taller than me. And I'm like just under 6'4". Maybe he's a tiny bit shorter, something like that. Yeah, I'm a big guy. And he's a big dude, and he looked great. The Yordan comp, baby Yordan, is really interesting. Did they believe he's going to break into that? And I didn't mean to dismiss, too, like the him being Stephon Marbury's like cousin is like just such a wild thing with it as well. But do they believe the body is going to grow into that? Because he's pretty freaking athletic. He crushed a double I saw the other day. But they believe that body is going to grow into that frame.
I think he's more athletic than Yordan is. In terms of like the athletic testing, like what they look at, they're really looking at explosiveness, and that translates like directly, like what it really correlates to in terms of like, and they've done this for years now. It's exit velocity, it's throwing velocity, and you know, it's actual game power. So he's a guy that I think like we haven't seen the game power necessarily show up as much, but when you look at a guy that has that sort of like body type, that sort of profile, whether you're talking to folks that have like my buddy that tested him, or like I was down in Florida and one of the guys for the Dodgers that's on the Cardinals now was in the Dominican Republic and one of their international guys for the last couple of years. And so, you know, I'm chatting with him. I connect with him because Cardinals are my coverage. So I want as many contacts in the cover of the Cardinals as possible. And the same thing, like I brought up the name and he was like, oh man, like he's Dominican. So it was just like, he started going off and he's like, yeah, that's like the next dude. So there's a lot of interesting names sort of in the lower levels with the Dodgers, you know, Rain and Duncan, some of those guys. I think this is the guy. I think he's going to be a top 100 prospect by the end of the year. Should come stateside, hitting the complex. Wouldn't shock me if he gets a few weeks in A-ball, sort of a la Sammy Zavala, who I was going to throw out there as another potential, like, you know, bold prediction, but I'll leave that one for Dylan. Yeah. We fight over Sammy Zavala constantly. Like I had him as like my, one of my sleepers in our outfield ranks, and I just beat him to it. And he was like, damn it. I wanted Sammy Zavala when you took him. So he's a guy that we at BA are pretty high on. So
yeah, like Zavala out. Zavala. Excited to see him in the minor league camp. And by the way, if people didn't quite get it, you might have the proper pronunciation. I might not, but I've called him Josue De La Paula. He responds to that. But I think what did you say?
Josue.
Josue. Yeah, I've said Josue, very English.
I don't know. I don't think they pronounce the J hard.
He's I don't think so either.
He's from Brooklyn. Like, I think if you talk to him, so like he speaks like good English.
Perfect. It's reminiscent. I've said it's like Valera. George Valera grew up in it was either Brooklyn. It was Brooklyn or something like that.
Well, Washington Heights. He was a New York guy.
Exactly.
He grew Ramirez is from Washington Heights too.
Oh, okay, yeah. It was, I think, Brooklyn for Valera, and he was there till he was like 13, and he had to move because his dad had an injury, and the warm weather was better than the cold weather. And Josue is kind of same way. He kind of responds to it either way. One thing I would point out, I think, is really interesting about him as well. Like, I'm really impressed with the bat. He's been here stateside since instructs. I 100% believe he is complex. If not, they could push him. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a little bit of a push. He's got a Julio Rodriguez personality. I don't know if people know that. It doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I always like to give intangibles. He very much has a Julio Rodriguez smile into the game. I was on a backfield 3 days ago, and you know, there's all the players and there's kids and there's people around, and he stopped and he gave two kids two bats, and he was like smiling and took pictures with them. And there's just something he's got that next level personality that he's ready for. And I can really appreciate, which to me is like, he's ready for the big push and the bigger stage. And his bat was the best on the backfield when it was low A and high A guys during an inter-squad scrimmage. Don Cohn was out there. Wilman Diaz was out there. He was bar none the best player out there and absolutely crushed a double. So Josue Josue De La Paula, a very, very good pick with the Dodgers. I love that one, Jeff.
You know, when a guy's bilingual like that, it's like, number one, like that's incredibly difficult to speak two languages fluently. But guys like that are valuable in the clubhouse because there's like a communication gap, particularly like in the lower minors, where a lot of players that come, you know, over here are still learning the language, you know, and they're coached up in that, and et cetera. Having a guy like that can kind of coach guys through, you know, explain things, like kind of communicate throughout the room. He's somebody that, you know, because clubhouses can be split somewhat. And like, he's somebody that can kind of like bridge both
a gaps. Leader. Yeah, he can be a leader of the clubhouse, and there's something to say about that. I totally agree, man. That's a great one.
He's got a high grit factor. Yeah.
He's scrappy. He's gritty. All right, pitching. Your number one bold prediction prospect pitcher is who?
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb here because I'm making a I'm betting on a guy who got traded to the Oakland Athletics, but I think I actually wrote this in the magazine too. Robert Salinas, guy that kind of broke out a little bit last year with the Braves. I think he's going to lead the minor leagues in strikeouts this year. They're going to keep him as a starter. Don't think he's going to be up necessarily. I think he's going to take another step forward with the command, hopefully. Big fastball, slider combination. I mean, his slider is deadly. The more they have him throw that thing, I think the better off he's going to be because he can land it as well. It's just nasty stuff. It's a bit of a late model Bartolo Colon build, so that's
big
not
boy.
He's a big boy. He's a big boy. You know, I think he eats more than Subway. But the swing and miss stuff is crazy. He wasn't that far off from like the minor league leaders in strikeouts last year.
Yeah,
and I think this year again, he's gonna eat. So, kind of betting a little bit on the stuff guy. Don't love that the move went from Atlanta, which is a pretty good pitching organization, to Oakland. We've seen this before and it hasn't worked out so well. But some of these arms got to work, right? Like one of these guys they trade for has to be good. They've traded for like 40 prospects in the last 2 years.
Someday. Robert Salinas, there's a good one you guys can recheck out. Big strikeouts and was, you know, kind of not in anybody's thoughts right now. So you might have the prospect pedigree and value boosting up. Final one, pitching prospect bold prediction for 2023. And this is your last one, Jeff. What do you got?
Yeah, I might have even said this one last year. I can't remember or not. But by the end of the year, I think Marco Rye is going to be a universal top 100 prospect. When I saw Rye last year, I mean, honestly, he was one of the best pitchers I saw in the minor leagues. Dealt with some injuries, which, you know, isn't great, of course. But, you know, Rye is just like legitimately three great pitches. You know, fastball has good shape. You know, it's, you know, sitting 94 to 95, he'll touch 97, 98, crazy sweepy sliders, throwing one of those before it was cool. But his slider is really unique because it's not just one of these flat frisbee sliders. It's sitting like 83 to 85 miles an hour with like a foot of sweep, which is great. Not too much, kind of like within that control area. He gets ride on it too. He gets like a 5 to 6 inches of ride, which is really something you only kind of see from like submariners, which is really unique for a guy like him. Smaller guy, but it works. Got a pretty good curveball as well, sort of like a high 70s, low 80s pitch, two plane breaker, you know, high spin. And he's got a good changeup as well. It kind of spins his changeup, sort of similar to Devin Williams. It's a higher spin changeup, like 2,200 RPMs. So he's not a soup nader, but it has pretty good shape. So he's a guy that I just kind of believe in. You know, I haven't had a ton of feedback on him from like Twins camp or anything like that. But Riot to me is a guy that I think that like absolutely could break out. Definitely like, you know, legitimate pitching prospect that just hasn't got a ton of time yet. No analysts were really on him. He was a 2020 draft guy out of the Texas prep ranks. Hasn't had a ton of experience in time, but I think he's a guy that, like, if he's healthy and throws 100 innings, like, the numbers are going to be good. He'll get, you know, up to double A, maybe get some late starts in triple A, and he's the kind of guy that could really sort of, like, burst onto the scene.
Huge, top 100. All right, so repeat them again. The two hitters and the two pitchers were, we had Marco Rye as one pitcher. Who was our second one?
Roiber Salinas, leading the minor league strikeouts. Then it was Josue or Josue de Paula. And yeah. Then the last one was Jackson Merrill, which is a little bit more commercial, I guess, more mainstream. But
hey, man.
I think it's bold saying he's going to be the number one prospect. There's so many good Jacksons.
You did not fade away from being bold, my friend. Whether you bring a household name or not, you are not afraid to be bold, and that is what is so great about you. You've been absolutely killing it. I am ecstatic for all of your amazing success at Baseball America. What do you got to plug, my friend? I know you guys are doing fantasy content over there. You and Dylan White have been doing that. Plug something for us.
Yeah, we're actually going to be doing a live stream tonight, kind of talking about the top 600 that we released. You know, it's funny. I think we ranked something like 820 players. We kind of cut it down to 600 because was like, Dylan and I were talking about it. We're like, after 600, like, if you need a major leaguer, you're going to take whoever's there. And
yeah.
You know, in terms of prospects, like, we have so many prospect rankings and lists that, like, we have top 30s, and then we have lists that now go from like 31 to like 45, 46 on all these different teams. It's like 1,231 prospects, I think we have reports on at this point. So if you need names of prospects to draft after that, we got plenty of them. I didn't think we had to sort of do redundant work. So that I'm going to be WBC stuff. We've been writing up every single game at this point. Now that we're getting onto the quarterfinals and that sort of stuff, we have like a full game story for each. My first one, unfortunately, was the Puerto Rico Dominican Republic game last night. And I'm writing up the story, like, the game ends, my feed cut out. So I didn't see the Edwin Diaz thing. So I'm just like, immediately I'm typing away. I'm working on the story, you know, 500, 600 words. Like,
this is great. Everything is great. Yeah, everything in the world is awesome.
And then I see the Edwin Diaz thing. I had to completely rework my story. Oh my God, I had like 15 minutes and get it up. I changed the opening. I mean, it changed, like, you know, what I was writing about in terms of Puerto Rico and, like, you know, sort of the exuberance. And I think people miss that. It's like, I did the pressers for the WBC at the winter meetings. So it's a big room you walk into at the conference, and, you know, all the teams, GMs and managers are in there. You know, no, I got to talk to Nelson Cruz, which is cool. Talk about another huge human being. He is massive. He really is. But, like, you know, I got to walk around, and the teams that, like, I was most excited to talk to were the DR, Puerto Rico, Japan, and funny, like, Colombia. Like, talking to the Colombia manager, I forget his name, but he was so excited to talk about his players and the development of baseball in the country and how much stronger they are than they've been in previous years. Same thing with Panama. Like, it was exciting. Like, you could see that. To someone like that, like, the WBC means a lot because they don't necessarily get to sort of put the spotlight on their country and the development and, like, their heritage and all that stuff. And, like, their sort of baseball background. And it means a lot to those guys. I mean, it's the reason, like, that Puerto Rico Dominican Republic game was so, I mean, it wasn't the best game in the tournament, why it was so good. Same thing with, like, every time you watched a game in, like, Chinese Taipei. I don't know if you woke up early enough to watch any of those.
No. I told you the 3 a.m. games were
crazy. Crowds were crazy. I mean, like, the crowds were better than, like, Philly, which is a great crowd, during, like, a pivotal game, a World Series game. You know, like, they were so loud. They were so into it. Every time something happened. Same thing with Japan. It's like, every time that they were at bat, the crowd was nuts. And then, like, Shohei Ohtani comes on to pitch, and it's like you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
You know?
Experience.
I'm going to be out there for the second semifinal game on Monday and then the final game. So me and Kyle Glazer will be doing some stuff on that. And then I'm doing my spring training run in the East Coast of Florida, which, we got Arizona coverage, right? You know, we got people that go out to Arizona. I think there's a lot of coverage for, like, the West Coast of Florida. There's not a lot of East Coast of Florida stuff. So I'll be at Cardinals camp, Houston Astros camp, Washington Nationals camp, which is significantly better than last year. They had Brady House and, like, nobody else last year. And now
you got Hassel and Wood, and you're golden.
Hassel's hurt, so I won't see any Hassel, but you can
see Wood. He's out there. How old is he right now?
I think he has another wrist injury. So I think they shut him down last week. I have to double check back yet.
Yeah, so I'm always looking for those guys, whether they're hurt or not, if they're out in camp and they're working around on little goofy stuff and whatnot. I didn't know it was that serious. So
but I'll get some Mets stuff. And, I mean, these teams all have pretty good drafts the last couple of years too. So, you know, you're going to see, like, I'll see a lot of, you know, video of those guys, Marlins guys as well. A little bit less excited with Marlins camp as I was last year, you know, before Khalil Watson kind of fell off the table.
I'm ready for him to pop back. You tell me when he pops back, because I feel like he's going to pop back this year.
The ability's there. The ability's there. It's just a matter of, like, he's like the opposite of Jackson Merrill, where, like, Merrill has the mature swing approaches and everything. Yeah. And that's just not Khalil. I mean, he's a lot of fun.
The stuff. Yeah. He's got the stuff that is ready.
The bat speed is crazy. You know, if he can figure out what to swing at and what not to swing at, I think that will go a long way with, you know, Khalil sort of rebuilding his prospect status. Really talented player, though. But the other thing is, like, you see names on these backfields that you don't necessarily know, or, like, you've seen, but, like, you don't know how good they are. I don't know, a guy I brought up last year, I think was one of my bold predictions, was, like, a Limber Santa, and, like, he got hurt in his first outing of the year and like never pitched again for the Astros. And then like he must have been on like the I saw him like a couple weeks ago when I was in Florida for labor. I had like a 5-day trip down there, so I made sure I was like trying to go to the backfields. Not there were any games or anything, just workout stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching the Astros pitches in the tunnels. You know, I went to a bunch of different games, but they must have had him like the Brusdar Gratterall, like Alex Kirilloff workout. Like I don't know if you remember when those guys had elbow issues. I think you know Gratterall had TJS. I can't remember if Kirilloff had TJS or if it was just like an elbow injury they shut him down for like 6 months for. But the Twins had those guys like do nothing but squats, so they added like 30 pounds in their lower halves. And that's when the Gratterall really took off. Santa looks like he must have added like 30 pounds. And it's all like in his thighs and like lower half. He was already throwing like 94, touching 97 last year in the backfield. So I'm excited what they can do with him. He's a name that they valued more than like Miguel Ulloa, who is like one of their best pitching prospects. And I think probably one of their breakouts. Another name that you could have thrown on the breakout list. They valued him more going into last season than Ulloa. And Ulloa like was kind of iffy with command, but like the fastball was crazy. And I think like, we're going to see it with Santa this year that like he's a name that people are probably going to know by the end of the year, especially with the way these lower level guys sort of pop up. But yeah, so I'm going to have a ton of spring training content coming out and I'm excited for that.
Well, make sure you're following Jeff Ponce, BA. Get in on it. Obviously, all the great coverage over at Baseball America. Killing it as always. But buddy, you are off the bold prediction hot seat. We'll check in on this. I'm sorry, check in a lot during the season, but we'll check in on the bold predictions next year. Thanks for taking time, man.
Thank you, man.
Prospect One.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Shelly Verstraete, Shelly V is on the bold predictions hot seat. We have got to, heat it up, Shelly. We've got to get some big, bold predictions, and that's why you're here and you're going to help us out. I'm ready to get into this, but first off, how are you? I feel like we haven't done a podcast in quite some time, and I couldn't make one, and then we couldn't get the next date, but we got this. I think it's all working out perfect, though. It's very good to see you.
Yeah, it's very good to see you. I mean, you know, spring training's going on, the World Baseball Classic's going on. It's like baseball, pretty much, you can watch it any time of day or night. It's great. It's really good to talk to you.
It's our mecca. This is like for us, this is all the stuff. We literally can wake up. We can go into it at night. We can analyze it to all end. And, you know, if you guys, as I do, if you peruse the Roto World, you probably see Shelly stuff as you're rocking the beat sometimes on there and some of the great notes on there. So you can find Shelly on Twitter at ShellyV_643 over at NBC. Edge, I should say that the Edge is over there, but I still call it Roto World Baseball HQ. All the great stuff. Shelly rocks, and I'm happy to do this. So let's get right into it. You have two hitters and two pitchers for us. We're going to see how bold we get. I'm going to let you choose. Would you like to go hitter or pitcher first?
I'll leave the best for last. So I'll go hitters first.
Oh, you shot me there. I thought you I was like, oh yeah, because like I've done that to everybody. I was doing the turn like, ah, let's do the hitters. So no, you're gonna do the pitchers. All right, great. Perfect. You shocked me. Let's talk about your first bold prediction. Hitter is whom and how bold are we going?
Well, I mean, I don't know how bold I'm gonna go with this first one, but Miguel Blaise, I think that he makes a Jackson Chourio-like jump this year, and he enters definitely top 50-round status.
Okay, I like that one. What's got you going there? Because Miguel Blaise, I hear all these different pronunciations, Blaise. I think you're right. I want to say it's like between Blaise and Blaise. I used to say Blaise. He's one of like the hottest up-and-coming prospects that a lot of scouts underling. I feel like there's some scout darlings that are out there, and Blaise is probably like at the top three, I think, of the biggest darlings. Last year hit 300, 5 homers, 18 stolen bases in just over 150 at bats. He did all of his work in rookie ball on stateside. So this year, probably going to be between low A and high A, depending on all the success. Not a big walk guy, but also not like some absurd strikeout numbers. What is the jump that you think if he's going to become a top 50? Because I got him just around the top 100, just inside of it. So top 50 is going to have to make a big move. Are we talking homers come up, stolen bases come up? What do you think about Miguel Blaise?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be both homers and stolen bases, but I really do think that it's going to be more home run side as opposed to the stolen base side. I just think that we're just going to see him just go off. Like today he was in a spring training game and, you know, he got a hit off Alek Manoah. That's not something that's easy to do. So, I mean, I just think that it's going to be a really big year for the kid. I'm afraid of about the strikeouts like a little bit, because, you know, it was still, you know, hovering around 20-26%, something like that. But, you know, he's 19. But if that power, you know, showcases how I think that it's going to, the strikeout rate, you can deal with that.
And he would be a full 5-tool player too. I mean, 18 stolen bases and 150 at bats is pretty bonkers. If you got into, you know, if you wanted to extrapolate numbers, if you had 30 plus stolen bases, let's call them 35, to go with somewhere between 10 and 15 homers, it's going to make a huge boost. I would even argue that you might be able to push as close into the top 35 with Miguel Blaise. Now, let me throw this at you real quick. Mm-hmm. Tristan Casas is going to graduate. He's going to be off. We're not going to see Marcelo Mayer, but he's going to be the top Boston Red Sox player. Who do you think is going to be higher at the end of the year between Miguel Blaise, Sadani Rafaela, or Nick York? Rank how, like, a order those three.
It's definitely Blaise for me. Okay. And then Nick York, and then Rafaela. I am afraid of Rafaela. I just don't know, because he just like exploded this year, and I'm just like, I've just gotten so tricked by Duran, you know. So I'm like, is this gonna be like Duran part deux? So I need to see a little bit more from Rafaela, but for me, it's definitely Blaise would be three.
Okay, Miguel Blaise, top 50 prospect by year's end, and number two in the Boston Red Sox system, which is another thing to think about. Maybe even pushing Marcelo Mayer a little bit. All right, number two on your bold predictions for hitters. Who do we got?
Grant McCray from the Giants. He's going to actually, I think, get a cup of coffee by the end of the year. I just think that he's going to take that big step forward. And I mean, the Giants, they need to, you know, they need to show something, because their development system and kind of took like a step back last year, and then they missed out on the free agent. So I kind of think that maybe some people in the front office are on the hot seat. So they might, you know, try to, you know, shake and bake and see what happens with some of these guys.
Okay. So Grant McCray put up video game numbers last year, 23 yeah. homers, 43 stolen bases, 289. I'd also maybe tell you, not really too crazy older for any of the systems that he was in on. He had two levels. It was low A, high A, a little bit older for low A, let's say, in the Cal League, where he definitely dominated. He put up the video game stolen bases came from there, 106 games, 35 stolen bases. He was pretty good when he went to high A at 269. He stole 8 more bases in 14 games. So let's present a couple things here. Mm-hmm. Grant McCray or Marco Luciano by the end of the year?
Oh, that's a tough
one. I think that's
one.
Where we're at. I'm down on Marco Luciano. I've been the defender of Marco Luciano for a long time, but this latest stint of injuries in the Dominican Winter League, while there's still lack of strikeouts, I've kind of called him as a sell, and I'm curious, you know, they obviously Kyle Harrison is your number one guy who could graduate. The only hitters you could argue that could maybe be above are like Luis Matos, Averson Arteaga, maybe Vaughn Brown, but he would probably graduate. So I just wonder, Grant McCray, because maybe there's our headline there. Is Grant McCray more valuable than Marco Luciano by year's end?
I It depends on what you mean by value, because I still think Luciano is still going to have that name value attached to him. So you could probably trade Luciano, get Grant McRae, and then someone else that you like. So you can, you know, cash in Luciano and get two guys. So I don't know. Screw it. Yes, I think so. I think McRae is gonna. Yeah, you finally, you twisted my arm.
That's what I was like, doing. I was totally baiting you into it. I'm like, just say it. Like, we're gonna get there. I love it. Okay, so by that standard, Shelley, I think we could say that maybe the way we phrase this is Grant McRae is the best hitting prospect in the Giants system by the end of the year. You could argue, unless you feel adamant about Arteaga, Von Braun. I know there's also some people that really like Casey Schmidt. I don't want to like dismiss that. I don't really think this system is crazy robust as far as hitting goes, which is really ironic because they did such a good job a couple years ago with targeting very specific players, on base type of guys, that they were, you know, Jairo Pomares at that time, Luis Matos. So guys are all 400 plus OBPs at lower levels. That was what they were doing. Guys weren't swinging and striking out too crazy amounts. They were getting on base, but the development has kind of just teetered down a little bit. And Grant McRae is definitely one of those players that has skyrocketed up. Speaking of, had a 383 OBP compared to his 289 batting average. So a 100 point boost is definitely a little bit more. And funny enough, Grant McRae is about going to be at the same level, probably playing with Luciano, even though Luciano wasn't the same level of Corbin Carroll and CJ Abrams early on. So he is slowly developing. Okay. You said you would save the best for last. So here you go. You've got two pitching prospects for bold predictions. I think we really hit it there with Grant McRae. So first up, bold prediction for starting pitcher. Who do you got as number one?
I am just going to plant my flag, and I'm going to be the Tanner Bibby girl. And I think that he makes his debut, and he is going to like just be in that rotation halfway through the year and just be, you know, he's going to take like that Ricky Tiedemann level jump, you know, in recognition and everything. So Tanner Bibby, I think that, he finishes the season in the majors, and I don't know, maybe he'll lose his prospect status. I don't know.
I think that's a big one. That's actually something I've been, I had this battle with one of our ATL Army members in a draft where he had taken Yarlin Susana, who I love, and I took Tanner Bibby, and he asked me, he's like, if I would have taken Bibby, who I was deciding between, would you have taken Susana? And I'm like, you know, probably, but there's something about Bibby being able to come up now, which is really intriguing to me. He had a sub-1 whip this past year, a little over a 2 ERA, 167 strikeouts, and he was able to do it across two levels, which got him to double-A. And as soon as you tap double-A, you know, the world's your oyster. The problem this team has is they've got so many great guys. You know, they've got so many. They've got Gavin Williams who can come up soon. I really like Jeff Leftwich or Jack Leftwich. There's a bunch of those guys that are sitting out there. And Tanner Bibby seems super underrated. And I love the word that you said, the Ricky Tiedemann type jump makes him extra interesting, that maybe it's like mid-season top five SP. And for him to lose graduating status and become a starting pitcher is a pretty big, bold prediction. Because if you are a starting pitcher still locked into the Guardians rotation, it's a really good positive. By the way, we're not even talking about Daniel Espino because he's perpetually hurt. So maybe that, Daniel Espino or Tanner Bibby.
Tanner Bibby for me, 100%.
Okay, there you go. There's your bold prediction. That's beautiful. All right, last one here. This is your last bold prediction, starting pitcher for the 2023 season. Who you got?
Dax Fulton is going to make his debut as well. You know, he finished the season at double-A with a 257 ERA and a 0.76 whip. I mean, he doesn't really have like the velo, but he's like this funky lefty. And I could definitely see the Marlins maybe trading one of their guys and bringing up Dax Fulton just to add another lefty to the rotation.
You definitely made, I see a lot about Dax Fulton, and I'm completely forgetting. I don't know if one of the guys in the last episode brought him up as well, but I just see a lot of tweets about Dax Fulton because I don't think I've quite jumped on the bandwagon like I should. 150 strikeouts in 118 innings, pretty phenomenal. Whip a little bit more up there, which has me worried just a tiny bit. Maybe there's a little bit more on the hit market. He gave up 113 hits last year, walked 42, but he's still very young, and that's a pretty big jump. So he makes the majors, and then let's see, I guess you would have, if you had Jiří and Max both lose, I guess it's pretty, it'd be a pretty easy thing to say that Dax Fulton is the number one pitching prospect in the Marlins by year's end, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I
if
would
he hasn't
say
exhausted
if,
eligibility.
Exactly. If I want to be bold, I say yes. I mean, I'm still kind of a fan of Jake Eater, excuse me. But I mean, Dax Fulton could be pushing Eater for that top spot as top pitching prospect in the Marlins.
Okay, so we had Dax Fulton, we had Tanner Bibby, we had Miguel Blaze, and then we had Grant McCray. Those are the big, bold predictions from Shelly V. Shelly, what do you got going on right now?
You know, I'm just, you know, doing like some news stuff over at RotoWorld. And then once the season starts, I'll have a weekly Dynasty article over there as well.
That's fantastic. I'm glad you're holding the fort down. It's no surprise to me when I've looked at the like all the blurbs on RotoWorld, how they've gotten better and then realize the people that are behind them. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because Shelly's probably doing some of that stuff, too. So it's always good to get your perspective across the board. And I'm glad you can make time for us. And I'm very glad that you could be so bold, my friend. So thank you for rocking some bold predictions, Shelly.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Prospect one.
The handyman ready. For some prospect action, it's Nate Handy from the B-Sides Prospect Podcast. B-Sides Podcast right here on the In This League Fantasy Network. Nate Handy, what is up, buddy? We're ready to talk some bold prospects, right?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks for having me, man.
Nobody will go as bold as Nate Handy.
That's some pressure.
Nate will buck the trend of anything. What was it you did in, there was a draft. What was it? You went nuts in like a dynasty draft in like the 14th. What was it you did? I'm forgetting now.
I think in the last P1 ADPs, I took like Gabriel Gonzalez in like the top 20 or something.
That's what it was. Yeah, you took him like 24 or something like that, setting the bar for him, which by the way, looking thick. And maybe even gained a little bit more weight than, I haven't decided if it's like really good weight or not weight. Minor league spring training games, I'm going to be targeting the Mariners over the next couple days to see as people are listening to this. But I did see him in a couple workouts. So that Mariner team is really wild, too, by the way. Lazaro Montes is just a – they have a couple monsters on that team. Tyler Locklear and Lazaro Montes are just these two huge monsters there. And then they've just got this collection of unique guys. Like Gabriel Gonzalez is – like I said, he's almost getting into like Jose Ramirez territory to me. Like he's not super tall. He's kind of growing outward a little bit. I don't think it's the wrong type.
Who isn't these days?
Yet. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, but I love Gabby. You and I both love Gabby. Yeah. So I'm always down for those type of things. And that's what we're going to do here today. Nate is a fantastic person to have and finish off the bold predictions here. And you guys can catch the B-Side Prospect Podcast. Just do the search for it. It's on the ITL network. It's on all the places and the things. And I think you even had one of the guests that are on today for this week. You had Jeff Ponce on with you. You guys talking all things prospects, correct? All things crazy.
Yeah, we had you've talked with Jeff before. I could talk to that guy for hours about baseball. But yeah, we had a good chat about dynasty speculation and styles of players and then discussed a few of my B-side selections for this season. It was a good time.
Okay. Well, I guess some B-sides are probably going to come into this. So as you know, Nate, you have got two hitters, two pitchers. You can choose where to go. You want to start hitting, you want to start pitching for your bold predictions and give us your first one.
Yeah, let's do hitters first. Where do you have Brady House ranked right now, roughly?
Ooh, this is going to, let's see. I just moved him down a little bit. I'm going to have to pull up my ranks here. I'm going to say roughly 75. I had him very high before, not someone I wanted to come off of, because I also think the physical like strength and stuff like that guy could probably hit 30 homers and steal double digit stolen bases, but the numbers have just not been there. So you're either going to go super high or super negative. So what's the bold prediction?
I will say that Brady House will end up at least 50 spots better than where he is right now in your ranks by the end of the season.
Okay. And that's almost where he was earlier. He's been as high as like, I'm trying to pull this up right now, 35 in my ranks before.
Right.
And the actual number for Brady House, I don't know why this went so crazy. Let's see. Brady House is, I moved him outside the top one. So he's outside the top 100 right now.
Okay, so he'll move. Latest update. He'll move like 75 to 100 spots up from where you got him right now.
So your bold prediction is he is going to be a top 40 player by year's end?
I think at least, yeah. I mean, barring health, but yeah.
Okay, talk to me. And also, by the way, exclusively working out at third base, I've been told by some people over in Florida in the minor league camps. I think that move has finally happened.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was always expected, right?
It was inevitable, sure.
Yeah. And for him, I mean, it's the bat, right? I mean, this is what made him one of the top picks in the first year player drafts was the power, contact, sound technique. I just don't really understand why a year later we have fallen off of him so much. He hit 280. It was only 40 some games, but he hit 279. 19-year-old. Strikeout percentage was not where you want it to be, but like, I don't know, less than Riley Green's, and that didn't kill Riley Green's love. And his swing and strike percentage is less than Jordan Walker's. That doesn't kill Jordan Walker's love. So I think we've just maybe overcompensated a little bit with Brady House. And I still think he's just as skilled and as exciting as we thought a year ago.
Yeah. I don't think I disagree with a lot of what you said. I just made that move and I didn't feel super awesome about it just because I think he's really physically talented.
Cause you were a fan, right? First year player draft season. You were about Brady House, weren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Very much about Brady House. Here's a couple of the tiny little pushbacks is like that pushed my move. Cause you're not wrong in a lot of what you're saying. Like this is a super young guy. And like, I'm like the biggest defender of not dismantling, you know, sub 21 year old guys for poor results. But I would also say this wasn't about dismantling. What would be really interesting in this, especially if you're attaching it to my ranks, is I don't know where everybody else has him. I feel like he's become an afterthought in a lot of people. I might still be the high person on Brady House because part of the problem is it's not so much that he has been super unsuccessful. It's that also not much has amounted to it. 49 hits in 2022, only 11 were extra base, no triples. He had 3 total homers. The power kind of subsided as he had moved levels, which I don't think is something that has to be long-term. He doesn't really walk compared to the strikeouts. That's maybe a little bit worrisome. That walk rate was really low. And it's just going to be how he matures. But like, this is a 6'4", 220-plus-pound guy who's going to be over at third base. And if that batting average continues with that strength, he's going to be a premium third base prospect. So I am very open to him making that push up. Sometimes it just also becomes about, I don't like it to be what have you done for me lately, but there is sometimes a what have you done for me lately? And can you justify and I've done it in the past with like George Flair and stuff like that. Like how much can you justify him over guys that are performing really well? I will say that I think like my like 65 to 125, I think is a very small window difference. If people want to pick that apart, definitely. I think the window is very small between those players. So I think it's a really good pick because Brady House has all the physical attributes and the history to just let things click and become a superstar.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, like at the plate, we're talking about much higher end skills than like a Austin Hendrick or someone like that. And I feel like that was kind of the bump that he took, the negative bump that he took.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah, I mean, Austin Hendrick also, like, I don't think exists on most people's ranks anymore, though I was very encouraged in watching him in spring training and seeing some of the results. So your bold prediction, I don't want to, like, put words in your mouth. Give me the exact, like, bold prediction is he's a top 30, 40? Give me the number.
Yeah, we'll go top 30.
Okay, top 30 by years in, Brady House is back. All right, bold prediction, hitting prospect number 2.
Well, I know guys in your chat room are maybe a little bit sick of me talking about this guy, but
wait, let me
guess. Will be Yoan.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Is this going to be Casey Schmidt?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. All right. Never mind. Sorry. Go ahead. When you said getting sick of me talking about it, there's a lot of Casey Schmidt in there. So, all right, go ahead, Nate.
This is Yohendrick Panango's year. This is when Panago. He becomes a top 100 prospect. Now, I understand the profile is going to be very bat heavy, right? Maybe he's a left fielder if everything goes right. But we're talking a guy with high-end plate skills, high-end contact skills, and the knock was always power and ground balls, and he finally tapped in to hitting the ball out in front and hitting home runs. The problem was he got injured and he fell off a cliff, and no one paid any attention to it. But what was it? End of July, middle of July. He was out producing other left-hand hitters at that level, like Tyler Soderstrom. He was first 349 plate appearances, which was 81 games. He was slashing 296, 332, 480 with 12 home runs, 16% K percentage. Then he got hurt and it just got awful. But Yohendrick Pinango is a top 100 prospect by the end of the year.
Okay, Yohendrick Pinango, who had 13 homers, 14 stolen bases. They list him hilariously at 5'11", 170. There's no way. I've been around this dude. I mean, he's probably pushing 200, if we're being honest. But he's a thick dude who can put the bat on the ball for sure and is very bat-centric, which I think is going to be the problem. He's like he's already moved positions because they now have him listed in left field, and I don't think that was originally where he was. But yeah, so
Have you seen him playing?
I've seen him in backfields. I haven't seen him live in a game. I've seen him on backfields, but I haven't seen him this year. It was last year.
Okay. So I'm still curious if there's injury or if he's back or what.
Yeah, no, I saw him multiple times last year on the backfields. Ironically, the Cubs have made it very difficult to get back there. They made it way more difficult than in years past to easily access. I would have been there a couple of days ago, but it was really hard. So that's not someone I'm seeing. So I'll probably hopefully see him on the backfields. I think it's interesting. Can I ask you, you're saying your bold prediction is top 100 prospect, which I think is great. What do you think the stat line looks like for Pinango?
Like, let's see.
Because he was 13-14 last year. 13 homers, yeah. 14 stolen bases, 250, just to kind of recharge your brain.
I think he could. I mean, I think you could see him in the upper level. I think you could see him in AA by the end of the season. Again, this is predicated on health, which I have no idea about. But I think he could be a 300 hitter at AA with 20 some home runs. He's probably not a big on base percentage guy. Slugging, you know, I don't know. I think there's enough doubles in a home run and home runs in there to do that. Yeah. Stolen bases. I'm not really counting on stolen bases from him.
I wouldn't either. Very interesting. You picked two very non OBP guys. I would point out Brady House and Pinango, not big OBP guys.
I'm not a big OBP guy.
So. Yeah. I was about to say you're playing your hand out there a little bit non OBP. All right. Probably your favorite here. And ironically you along with Shelly and Jeff all decided to go hitters first, cause you wanted to save pitching for last. So your first pitching prospect bold prediction for 2023 is
Houston's 20-year-old right-hander Adinson Batista, who Jeff and I talked about on today's podcast. But, my prediction is that he is the Astros' top starting pitching prospect or very close to the top by the end of the season's year.
So break it down. Let's hear him.
He's owned in, I think he's currently rostered in 1% of Fantrax leagues.
Okay.
So he's a good size, righty. He can spin it. You know, imagine that. The Astros have someone who can spin a couple of different breaking balls. Jeff alerted me to some metrics on that slider. The slider's nasty. It could be a cheat code type of weapon. He can spin another curveball. Maybe there's a little bit more velocity on the fastball. But, I mean, he had a great season last year as a, 19-year-old in low A. Got up to high A right at the end for a couple of starts. But he had, in 21 games, he had a 260 ERA, 1.093 whip, 10.9 K per nine. Walks probably need to come down a little bit, 4.1 per nine. But I mean, you got a young teenager spinning a couple of nasties up there. You know, it takes some time to wrangle that all in. But on that end of it too, I think he does execute and command his whole arsenal fairly well, especially for that age.
Okay, so he's the top Astros pitching prospect bold prediction. What do you think that puts him in line to be top 150 prospect overall, top 100? What do you think that looks like at the end of the day?
I don't know. Maybe I think it depends on whose ranks you're talking about, because some people just hate pitchers so much. But
yeah, just like a general. I think there's general.
I don't know. Let's call him like a top 200 at least. If it goes really well, maybe he's like, I was just outside 100 or something like that. Because I mean,
say that last part again.
Maybe he's just outside the top 100. Because I mean, the Astros right now, who are we talking about pitching prospects? Brown's going to probably graduate, and then Eric Geddy, who I'm not like the biggest fan of. And, you know, so the Astros top pitching prospect might not be all that high on big lists, but.
But a relative unknown.
I think that was bold enough, though.
I think it's very bold. A relative unknown becoming the top pitching prospect and being maybe outside the top 100, 150 to 200, something like that. That's a big deal because that's an unknown. So your last one, your big last pitching prospect bold prediction is who?
All right. This I cheated a little bit. This is more of a team bold prediction.
Okay.
But the Colorado Rockies will put dynasty rankers in a bit of a pickle because there will be a Rockies starting pitching prospect that has an amazing season and puts the pressure on to actually value a Rockies pitching prospect in fantasy. I don't know if that's going to be Gabriel Hughes, Jordy Vargas, Jackson Cox.
I was about to say, is that Jaden Hill? Is that Gabriel Hughes? I wasn't sure who you were thinking.
And that's Case Williams, Angel Trevilli, Carson Palmquist. I don't know. I don't know necessarily who, but I think they have gotten so much better at evaluating and gobbling up talent that they just have too much of it now for one of them to not push this issue, this envelope.
If you had to take a guess, who would be the pitcher you would choose? Gabriel Hughes?
Jackson Cox.
Jackson Cox. All right, there you go. So what, and give us the number then. If it's Jackson Cox, and what do they look like?
Well, I mean, And I totally understand it. I totally get it. Like, do you even want to rank a Rockies pitching prospect for fantasy?
I'm trying to think of the last high one.
What's waiting at the end.
Who was the last high pitching prospect out of the Rockies? Jeff Hoffman?
Rollison? Yeah, like something like that?
Yeah, Riley Pint. Riley Pint, who's back, by the way, with the team, was kind of fun for a minute. Rollison was up there. But I still don't think, when's the last one that's pushed like the top 150?
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen one.
I don't know. It's like Sasquatch. It's the same
thing. Let's just hypothetical, right? Let's say Jackson Cox is in low A, right? And he's putting up like just ridiculous numbers, gets to high A, is doing the same thing, right? At some point, it's got to get interesting and enticing, right?
Yeah, but the end story, though, is just like walking through the light at the pearly gates. They have to walk through Colorado, and that's ultimately what gets them at the end of the day is pitching in Colorado. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, someone is going to be so good that it's going to put you in a pickle, Welsh.
Okay, so you're saying someone's going to be inside the top 100. You're going to have a Colorado pitcher. Yeah, come on, you're bold. You got to get bold. How bold are you?
Maybe top 100 by next season, but let's say you are ranking a Rockies pitching prospect in your top 200 by the end of the year.
Okay, yeah, because I do not have my highest one is Gabriel Hughes, and that is not in the 250. So
yeah,
that is a Colorado issue overall. Those are some good bold predictions for sure. Nate, plug the Twitter, plug the shows. What do you got to plug?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Pitching Specs. Doing a weekly every Monday, dropping a podcast called Prospect B-Sides, where we're focusing on prospects hardly owned, hardly rostered in Fantrax leagues. And we'll be doing that all season.
It's very cool stuff, my friend, on the In This League podcast network, which we appreciate. Nate, you're off the hot seat, and we will hold you accountable for every one of these.
Yes. Record your receipts, fellas. I'm sure they'll be coming back.
All right. Thanks, Nate.
Thank you.
Big shout out to all three of those fine folks for coming on the episode and bringing all of those big, bold predictions. Those are some great names for you. Really, from like top to bottom, which I really enjoyed here from, you know, we had a couple big names that were in there, the middle line ones and ones you guys probably didn't even have on your peripheral whatsoever. So lots of bold predictions. So last week I told you that I have got two more. I'm going to be honest with you. I did adjust one. But I'm going to tell you who I adjusted just to put it out there. The guy that I took off was Khalil Watson. And Khalil Watson was one I wanted to have. And I'll even tell you that what I put out there was that Khalil Watson returns form and becomes a top 75 prospect again. That's where I've kind of been on him. I found it interesting that Skip was asked about Khalil Watson and he went out of his way to state that he'd had some of the most impressive at-bats in a minor league camp, also rocking a couple homers. So I moved away from it because I think it's just a really tough one. I just had a better one that I wanted to roll with, but I did want to tell you that that was the guy as far as hitters go that I was kind of sitting on. And that was the one. And I'll go in true form here because everybody went hitter first. I'll give you the hitter that I did adjust to, but I'm giving like a little side alteration to Khalil Watson's thinking that I think he can return to form. It's such a weird thing. I think Jeff and I briefly mentioned it, that obviously his approach, there's a lot of problems with it. There's a maturity level or maybe a confidence level, whatever it was seen as a maturity level. And if you guys remember, he was like sent up to AAA and the word was to learn how to be a professional. And from some people I know, when he came back down, it was definitely a little bit more humbled in whatever the whole process of what it was. So really now, if you can kind of move past that, we're really looking at like, can this like uber talented player, can he come back to form? Can he, you know, chill out on the strikeouts and stuff like that? And I think it's a possibility. And I really think he can find himself again. And I'm very hopeful for it. So that's why I had brought him up. The player that I am going to throw out to you, and here's the bold prediction, Los Angeles Dodgers, Dalton Rushing is going to be my bold prediction for the year. I actually saw him just four or five days ago running in the Dodgers minor league camp. It was actually a day that was right before the minor league game started. So this was like Sunday or Monday or something like that. And I was able to go and see him, and he is really fascinating. I don't know if he's the 6'1 that they list him out to, but boy, is that guy like, if you're a wrestling fan and you ever saw Taz, he reminds me of Taz. He's just like, he's built outward. It's a really interesting body frame of like muscle that he's got. And I just don't know if he's 6'1" like they list him. I screw this up a lot because I'm taller. So I, for some reason I can screw this up on heights and some like Adolis Garcia sometimes looks taller than to me, but I want to say it was more like maybe 5'11", something like that. But again, I might be completely off on that regardless of the point. Dalton Rushing is coming off of like a phenomenal debut off of being drafted. 104 at bats, 8 homers. He had a stolen base, a .400 batting average, and a .500 OBP. One of the things that will work a tiny bit in favor is I do believe, based on how they were working him, he's going to start back at high A. So last season he played, what was it? He went to rookie ball. I say he start back. He only went to A ball. He went to the Cal League, played 28 games. He's playing with the A or high A guys, even though he's a college bat. So he's going to play, I would assume, and I think they have him listed already at the high A affiliate. I think he's got an opportunity to push even AAA this season, because my bold prediction on Dalton Rushing is that he is going to become a top 50 overall prospect. He's going to drop 25 homers in his first full season, and he will have a 3.45 slash. Is that bold? You tell me. I know a lot of people are on Dalton Rushing. My Khalil Watson one might have felt a little bit more fun. Maybe I'm looking for a little bit of a win here, but I wanted to attach multiple things to it. If he hits a 25 homers, he's easily a top 50 prospect. If you want to go bolder, he might be. One thing I was thinking about is he becomes the Dodgers' number one overall prospect, because Miguel Vargas will have graduated. So as far as hitters go, it'll come down to him and Diego Cartaya. And that's a possibility. You know, they're about the same age, even though Diego has been in the system for like 3 years. So that's a possibility. Dalton Rushing also, you know, the bat, I think the bat is above Diego right now, but I'm not sure how the team views him defensively, like Cartaya or anything like that. But Cartaya is a little bit higher. But Dalton Rushing, top 50 overall prospect with 25 homers and a 3.45 slash. That's my hitting breakout bold prediction for the year. And if you want to even get a little bit bolder, he becomes the Dodgers' number one overall prospect. That's how highly I think of him. That's how highly I think of the bat and what he did early on. He's going to get challenged, but this system does a pretty good job of having these guys meet the call. And from a physicality standpoint, this is a guy that looks like he can easily drop 20 plus homers. So I don't think it's that far of a reach. My pitching bold prediction, my final bold prediction for the season off the last episode where I told you Ethan Salas would be a top 25 overall prospect before year's end. I said Connor Prelip would be a top 10 starting pitcher by season's end, at least as far as minor leagues go. My last pitcher, I'm even going higher than Connor Prelip, Yarlin Susana, who was a former Padre, now with the Washington Nationals, becomes a top 5 starting pitching prospect going into next year. Last season, he had a 2.4 ERA in 13 games, 12 starts, 66 strikeouts over 45 innings. He had barely a one whip, just barely a one whip. He was great in the ACL, moved up, played a little bit of rookie ball with the Nationals. And even when he moved up to A ball as a, think at that time, he was still a 17-year-old because it's actually birthday. We might have to give a shout out. I guess it was 18 years old the whole season. By the time this airs, his birthday is in 2 days. So happy birthday to Yerlin Susana, who's going to be 19 years old. So he spent his 18-year-old season across two different rookies levels while being traded, and then goes to A-ball. And in A-ball, he had a 2.61 ERA, striking out 13 in 10 innings. He walked five, which wasn't anything crazy. The walks are something to watch, of course. But he, overall, across all three levels, kept batters to a 179 batting average and only a 230 at high A. So, or at A-ball. I'm like crazy, crazy impressed with him. He's also a big physical body player who is going to pump the fastball. The organization really likes him. He's still a little bit raw, and there's still a little bit of like learning to throw strikes a whole bunch with his big stuff. The Nationals, maybe not the best organization to push that, but I think he's made a lot of natural strides. And I think when we look at the upside, the only thing that is a tiny bit of a caveat, which I would argue, is having older pitchers in general might be a little bit of the push. But Susana is just one of those guys. You know, look at Yuri Perez. He's one of those younger players that he's going to start at A-ball. He has the potential to push to Double-A this year. And into next season, he would be going in at 20 years old, maybe starting back at Double-A or pushing Triple-A, and might be soon for the majors. You know, wouldn't be a shocker to see a 20-year-old Yerlin Susana, especially if he makes a big push on throwing strikes. So I think he's going to do that. And by season's end, top five SP. And I also looked at it from a like graduation standpoint. Just briefly here, I would assume Grayson Rodriguez, let's say good things happen to Painter, he's gone. Tiedemann, gone. Maybe Perez stays. One of Kyle Harrison or Gavin Williams, gone. Then you've got maybe Espino's there. Hunter Brown's gone. I think Fott would be gone. Now you're looking at guys like Tink Hintz, Bobby Miller, Bryce Miller, who all will actually be left. I think it's a pretty easy path to see where he can get there. There are guys where if they didn't graduate, I think could push, like Gavin Stone and Tanner Beebe. But again, I think all these are players that get playing time this year and could exhaust that eligibility. So if just from exhausting it and having overall production, I really think Susana's in a good situation and a good spot to jump up there. So the bold prediction is top five SP going into the year. And those, my friends, are a ton of bold predictions for the year. Hopefully you enjoyed them. What was your favorite? Let me know. Put on the episode. Did you like any of mine? If you didn't like it, keep it to yourself. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you could say if you don't like one of those. But yeah, I'd be curious at what you guys think overall. If you guys want to be heard and to have access to me, you can do it over at InThisLeague.com. You can get in the GroupMe rooms. You can hang out with all the crew. The Prospect One room is so wildly cool. I can't even explain it. All the guys, smart guys, Nate Handy's in there. Just everybody's sharing good information. There's lots of good questions out there. There's just a lot of good prospect stuff. And one of my favorites is when anybody actually gets out to games, people will like share video and stuff like that. I've always enjoyed that. So if you go on to support, go to InThisLeague.com. I would love to have you. Also want to give a shout out to Dennis Sidler over at Sid's Graphs. Just completed some signings over in Florida. You should go check out all his stuff. Sidsgraphs.com on the social media, even an eBay store. Michael Harris signing with Rookie of the Year stuff. Oh, yeah. Are we getting a Michael Harris jersey coming the way? Maybe. We talked to Dennis a little bit about that. Drew Gilbert, Leover Paguero, all the ones he did out here. It is an incredible list of exclusive clients he has, and it's cool stuff that you just, you know, you can try to get, but it's harder to get these days. But he's got jerseys to cards to baseballs, helmets. Fanatics has this crazy new thing of all these awesome helmets. They're making these little mini helmets. The colors and the schemes are really cool. And Dennis has been getting all those. So go and check him out, as he always supports the podcast. I'd appreciate that. Friends, that's it. Find me on Twitter. Is it the Welsh? Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And that is all that I have. I mean, we're going to be talking next week, and the precipice of the season will be upon us. And we will have minor league games coming up. We are going to have more crazy updates than ever before. And I couldn't be more excited about it. In my LB TV on here, essentially some of the streams might be like having, I'll have games going on and we'll just all be watching together. I'll tell you who I'm watching and we can sync up and stuff like that. So you can check it out, twitch.tv/inthisleague, youtube.com/inthisleague. Those are a couple of the other places you can find. And that is it. I've only got a couple more days on the backfield and I'm going to have to reckon with it. So friends, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get to a backfield and I'm going to start going to film some prospects. I do have extended spring training where I can be the real big weirdo where no one's around and I'm just walking around for these guys that are going to play like rookie ball and stuff. But hey, Jackson Chourio was there last year, so it's not a bad place to be. That is all. I love you all. And we will talk next time right here on Prospect One.